Amen. Get behind it. Support it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the burden to go after souls. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about God's kingdom and not building our own kingdom, but building the kingdom of the Lord. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, we are going to continue. Hopefully we're not wearing it out too much, but we're going to continue in the vein of, are you spiritual? Amen. Because I want to be spiritual. There's a lot of people that claim to be spiritual, claim to be Christians, claim to go to church, but they're producing not Christian traits. They're producing the wrong kind of fruits. And I want to make sure that I produce the right kind of fruits. And Galatians talks about it. And it even the very first verse of chapter 6, it says, ye which are spiritual. And so we want to try to become spiritual. We've talked about helping, restoring. We talked about bearing one another burdens. We talked about helping people and understanding that we're not anything. A lot of people think that they're all that in a bag of chips, but we understand that we are not all of that. And we're supposed to prove our own work, which we talked about last Wednesday night. We talked about that we've got to focus on Him. And we've got to somehow turn the spotlight off everybody else and turn the searchlight on ourselves. And because I want to please God. I really do. I want God one day to look at me and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 5, we're going to talk about and continue this. And it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, I know in verse 2, it talks about bear ye one another's burdens. And we want to do that. There's not a contradictory statements that are going on. But tonight, if you want to be spiritual, and I believe that you do, because I want to be spiritual, and we've got to understand that if we're going to be spiritual, then we've got to bear our own burdens. We've got to understand that it becomes a process. That none of us have ever arrived to the point where we could kick back and put our feet up and say, I've arrived. I'm now holy. I'm now saved. I'm now sanctified. I've accomplished the task. I am spiritual. I don't think nobody has ever arrived at that point where they can literally say, Brother Alex, I'm he who you seek. I think the only time we do is when our bodies give up the ghost and we stand before God. That's the time where God opens up the book and he lets us know if we followed after the carnal man or if we followed after the spiritual man. So tonight we've got to understand that it's an ongoing process and you have to work on being spiritual. Understand that. There are times you leave a Sunday night Holy Ghost power-packed apostolic service and you just feel like you're just soaring through the clouds and you get outside the doors and it's like, boom, you're hit with now the flesh. And it's like getting in your car and you're driving home and somebody cuts you off and somebody's driving slow in the fast lane. And you just had a Holy Ghost breakthrough at the altar, but now you're in the driver's seat and you're getting impatient and you're saying things like, get out of my way, or you know what I'm saying? And so it's a process. 1 Corinthians, Paul states it like this in the 15th chapter of the 9th verse. Apostle Paul said this, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. If you were to really take stock of what you did and the life that you lived, I think every one of us could say, you know what, I'm not even meet to be called a Christian. I'm not even, you know, to be called spiritual. I did some bad things. I made some wrong choices. But he says in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm going to tell you, when grace became amazing is when it was applied to your life. And we thank God for grace. Bible says, for by grace are you saved. And that through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So it doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. Doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing. You didn't get here by your own looks. You got here by the grace of God. And so Paul said that I'm not even meet to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, it was God. And he keeps on going in the 23rd verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body. This is what Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. There are times that you have to talk to your body. We're going to church. I know your body's tired. I know you're hungry. I know you've had a bad day. But listen, flesh, listen, body. I'm going to church. And I'm not just going to sit there. I'm going to be involved. I don't care if the music isn't good and they don't sing my favorite song and the preacher's long and the preacher's boring. I'm not coming for the preacher body. I'm coming for God. And when I come to his house, I'm coming with my hands raised and my voice raised, and I'm going to worship God. And sometimes you got to talk to your body. Listen up, Bubba. We're going to connect with God. Because I'm telling you, there are people in this world that we rub shoulders with day after day that they are joy stealers. And if you're not careful, they'll steal your joy. And their pity party that they love to have, they'll get you involved of their pity party. And you'll start feeling as bad as they felt. And you walk out going, oh, I just don't feel good. That's what the body wants to say. But I'm not going to let my body dictate my relationship with God. I'm going to let the spiritual man say, hey, Bubba, you're going to sit this one out, because my spiritual man needs a charge. It needs a connection with God. And I'm coming to church to get my praise on. That's what we do on Wednesday night, is we come here to plug into him and get renewed and refreshed and get that joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a time for us to connect with him, even when you don't feel like it. Because there's times in your life you're like, I don't have any reason to worship God. I don't have any reason to. I've got bills that are due and there's no money in the bank. I don't feel good in my body. Those are the times. Those are the flags that are saying, hey, dude, if you'll just tap in to the supernatural, if you'll just take a step out in faith, if you'll just start worshiping, if you'll start praising God, there is a reward, because the Bible said he inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells. He abides where there's praise. And just a few minutes of praising God and worshiping God, all of a sudden you're saying, wow, I'm glad I came to church. Wow, I'm starting to feel better. Wow, that day wasn't that bad because I made it to the house of God. It's a day-to-day walk. And we got to work on this. Not work on our neighbor. Not work on our spouse. Not say, this service was designed for him. This, you know what he was involved in? This service This service has your name on it. It has my name on it. Get your eyes off everybody else and get your eyes on you and say, you know what? I'm going to connect with God myself. I don't care if anybody else worships. I don't care if anybody else gets involved. I made up my mind when I come into his house, I come not to be a spectator, but I come to participate. And I want my body to know that. and I'm going to work on me. I want to be spiritual. And so if you want to be spiritual, verse 5 has got to come in play in Galatians chapter 6 for every man. Somebody shout, every man shall bear his own burden. We must bear our own burdens. We must bear our own loads. We are responsible. Listen, we are responsible for our own actions. I realize I told you we've got to bear one another's burdens, and we need to do that. We need to help others. But can I just tell you, you can't help others if you can't help you first. You got to take care of you first, and then you can take care of somebody else. If you don't got God inside of you, you can't help anybody. If you don't have the love of God working in your life, there's no way you can love somebody else. You got to focus on you. That's who we're focusing on. Bear our own burdens, bearing our own actions. Can I tell you, some of you have a messy house. I'm not just talking about your home. I'm talking about your body, your temple. You've got a messy, bed. You've got some dirty dishes in the sink. And you've got to take ownership of what we've done. We've got to take ownership of the choices that we made. We've got to sometimes pull ourselves up from our own bootstraps. We've got to focus on us. We've got to bear our own burdens. You realize that today? Now listen, I realize we love King David. We love to talk about a giant killer. Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. I realize that God forgave David. I realize that David was on his face and he was praying and dealing with the mess that he created, right? Listen to me, even though God forgave him, even though God wiped it off of his memory and covered him with his blood, even though David was considered a man after God's own heart, David had to pay for his own actions. David had to reap what he sowed. David had a tremendous burden to carry. David had a tremendous load to deal with. He was the one that made the mess. Bible said he was the one that stayed home when the other men went to war. He was the one that committed sin with Bathsheba. He was the one that murdered Uriah the Hittite. God forgave him, yes. God loved him, yes. But David made some bad choices in life, and there had to come a time where he had to deal with them. Can I tell you tonight, it was no accident that Amnon defiles Tamar. It was no accident that Absalom began to wage war with his father and try to take his throne away from King David. It was no accident that Solomon, the wisest king to have ever lived, yet in his latter years was destroyed because the love of strange women. It was no accident that David could not build the house of God. David allowed God to say no. 1 Chronicles 28:3 says this, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And David allowed God to say no to him. Can I just stop and pause and say this to you? If God can't say no in your life, don't think about calling him Lord. If God can't stop you from what you want, you can never call him Lord, because he doesn't become Lord if you don't listen to what he says. We love when God says yes, but the truth of the matter is we don't follow him just because he says yes. We've also got to follow him when he says no. And we've got to be okay with that. And David was okay with that, because David realized, I have to deal with me. I may not understand it. I may not, it may not make sense. I may get mad about it. But David said, I've got to deal with David, not with somebody. I'm not going to deal with Absalom. I'm not going to deal with Solomon. It wasn't their mess. I was the one that brought the plague in. And so David had to carry the burden
that David created. David had to deal with the load that David made. David had to deal with the bad choices that David made. David brought a curse on his home when David decided he would do what David wanted to do. And so David allowed God to say no, and he was okay with that. Can I tell you tonight that if we want to become spiritual, we must come face to face with ourselves. We must take a good, hard look at the choices and decisions that we have made in the past. Because I'm here tonight to tell you on a Wednesday night, the choices and the decisions that we made in the past, they affect us and they stay with us. I preached a message years ago, you can have what you want, but you'll lose what you got. We must carry the burdens that we created. Can I tell you, it wasn't the preacher's fault. It wasn't the pastor's fault. Everybody wants to blame the pastor and blame the man of God and blame the church, but it wasn't the church's fault. The church didn't do it. You did it. You made that decision. And you must shoulder that load. And you must fight that good fight of faith. I know it's hard. I know it may be difficult. But you need to pick up that load. You need to pick up that burden. And you've got to follow him. If we want to be spiritual, Brother Manuel, we must, every man shall bear his own burden. Quit crying. Life's not fair. Life is hard. Life is rough. Nobody understands. We've got to deal with it and come face to face with us and bear our own burdens. If we want to be spiritual, we must bear our own burdens. Got to deal with it. God can forgive you. God can help you. God can stop the curse, but you first have got to find the problem and you've got to cut it off. And you got to start today. You got to make up your, you're the one that made the choice. You're the one that decided the curse is not a big deal. I can do what I want to do. I can eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we may die. I can do what feels good. That's right. But listen to me, there is coming a day that David faced. The greatest kingdom that we have ever seen throughout Scripture was King David. And yet, even though he was the greatest king, David had to deal with David. And there's coming a time that every one of us have got to deal with us. Biggest devil that you'll ever face is not the devil. It is Y-O-U. It is you. You want to blame everything on somebody else? Stop playing the blame game and realize I was the one that made the mess. I was the one that created this. I've got to make up my mind today that it all ends today. I want to start new today, and I'm going to break those future curses. I'm going to break those future addictions. I'm going to break those future chains, and I'm going to break the curse. If we want to be spiritual, we've got to make up our mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to act right. I'm going to live right. Not for pastor. Not for the church. Not for mom and dad. But I'm making up my mind today that I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to start some new things in my life and my family. My home has not been a spiritual home, but I'm going to start today and make it a spiritual home. We have been praying in our home. Well, I'm going to start today and we go pray in our home. Shame on us if all we do is pray in here and we don't pray in our homes. And we don't pray in our jobs. And we don't pray when we go out the four walls of this church. We've got to take this with us. We've got to live this life and realize that I've got to shoulder, I've got to carry the own burden that I have and make up my mind, I'm going to live for God. Amen. And I'm going to be faithful. It starts with being faithful. I know it's basic, but listen, I'm going to be faithful with the house of God. I'm going to make the house of God a priority. I'm going to be intentional about it. No longer will it be a discussion. Are we going to church tonight? Do you feel like going to church tonight? No, it's not going to be that when the doors of the church are open, Brother Mendez, I'm going to be there. We're going to church. If I want my kids to love the house of God, I must show them that it's important in our home. Every time the church is open, I will be there on Bible studies and Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, hyphen youth, whenever it is, I'm just going to show up. Because if I don't show up, I'm teaching him. It's not a big deal. It's okay to make an exception. It's just pastor teaching again. I mean, he's on part five of being spiritual. Don't you think we've had enough of being spiritual? Give me a break. But when you make one exception, it's easy to make the second exception. Then it's easy to make the third exception. You've got to be intentional about this. You've got to show that God, you're important in my life. I can't be an SMO Christian, Sunday mornings only. I every time the church is open, I've got to come here. And not just come here, but I've got to be involved in this. You know what I'm saying? And when you start getting involved in this, then the scriptures come into context and it comes into life. I will enter his gates with and into his courts with. When I come to his house, it's all about him. And I want him to know I had a hectic day. I had a busy day. But when I come here, I'm turning everything off. I'm unplugging everything and I'm connecting with him. Because this is his house. I'm going to make it a priority to come to church. So it's being faithful is all about. If I can come and be faithful to the house of God, you know the next thing I need to be faithful with? My giving. I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens on that. I knew it'd get a little tight on that. And I'm actually okay. When I first start preaching, I just like to run over that and just kind of breeze through that. But I'm telling you, the church is not after your money. Pastor's not after your money. God's not even after your money. God's after blessings. And if you'll choose today, I'm going to break the curse. I tell you what, why don't you do this? I tell this on Financial Peace, right? I told it last Thursday and I told it Thursday before. I said, break out the last 2 months' bank statements, right? And categorize your budget and find out where you've been spending things. If you do that, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind of where you're putting your money. But I challenge you, take 3 months of bank statements, 3 months. That's what a quarter is, 3 months, right? You got four quarters in a year. Just take the last 3 months. I challenge you. And go through your bank statements and label it food, groceries, entertainment, whatever it is. And then just put God. And then tally that up. See where God is. I knew it would get quiet when I said that. See where God resides in you. See the amount of check that you get into your bank statement. And see the so-called tithe you think you've been tithing. See if that matches. If it doesn't match, it's not tithing. It's not giving God 10%. It's not telling God, I'm being faithful. It's telling the enemy, hey, let the curse come. Hey, let the floodgates of hell attack. You wonder why you're always struggling financially? It's because you haven't got that point down. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Because the Lord says, will a man rob God? What are you robbing God of? The blessings. You're robbing him of blessing your life and taking that devourer out of your life. You think it was you that got the raise? You think it was you that got the promotion and got more hours on overtime and on and on and on? No, God shined his favor on you. And shame on us if we get the big head and think we did it and our talents did it and our abilities did it. I'm going to tell you, as fast as you got it is as fast as you'll leave it. But if you'll understand and you'll make up your mind tonight, today, I'm going to break that curse. I'm going to break that snag. I'm going to get the devil out of my finances and I'm going to put God first. I'm going to be faithful. Because I don't want the sins of Achan to come into my home. Do you realize Joshua had to deal with the sins of Achan? Anybody remember Achan? What did Achan do? He took the accursed thing. What was the accursed thing? Where did Achan take from? From Jericho. What was the first city out of the ten that they conquered? Jericho. And that city, God says, you can have all the other spoils, but Jericho, leave it alone. Isn't that what he said? And Achan said, look at that gold. Look at that bling. My baby needs shoes. So Achan takes it. Nobody's going to miss it. And he takes it and puts it in his home, in his tent, and underneath the garments. And the next day, they go out in battle. And Joshua's like, what in the world? Our men are dying, and we're running away from the Amorites. What's going on? And the Lord says, there's sin in the camp. You know what's going to stop a move of God? Is when we start taking the cursed thing that doesn't belong to us. And we start dealing with us and dealing with our mistakes. And that's what Achan did. Achan took what didn't belong. And because of that, many people lost their lives because of what Achan did. Choices that you make not only affect you, they affect all those around. And the Lord told Joshua, he said, look, you got to find the dude that took the cursed thing and brought the plague on it. And he says, what you need to do is you got to get him out of there. You got to take everything he has, all the stuff that he took and his whole family, and you got to put him to death. Because if you don't, the enemy will run rampant over you. You'll never win. You'll lose everything you have. But if you'll cut it off. And so Joshua said, you know what? I've got to deal with this. I've got people that are dying. I've got people that are under the plague, and I've got to remove the plague. And so what Joshua did, he said, I'm going to change it. And he took all of Achan, all the household of Achan, and the Bible says they stoned Achan. And from this day, they call this the Valley of Achan. I don't want the enemy in my home. I don't want the enemy in my finances. I want God in my finances. I challenge you, put God to the test. Remove that curse of the financial pressure and the financial chaos that's been on your home. It's been on their way too long. Put God first. If you want to be spiritual, you've got to prove Him that He won't open up the windows of heaven and bless you. It's the only time in Scripture that God says, don't prove MasterCard. Prove me. If you prove me, I will bless you. Matter of fact, I'll bless you with a blessing you can't even contain. And not only that, that devil, that devourer's coming out. I've got wonderful promises, and all you have to do is put God first, and guess what? You break the curse. Bear ye the burden in bringing back to blessings in your finances. The reason you had disaster is you forgot about God. I challenge you. You don't have to show pastor your 3 months bank statements. I probably already know them without even looking at them. But you probably don't. Take them out. Look at them. And then say, oh God, I'm going to start today. You know the great thing about God is? God doesn't rule with a big old sledgehammer. You would like to rule with a big old sledgehammer. You'd like to knock people on the head and say, they deserve that. They gone. No, that's not what God does. God begins to love those that say, you know what? That's what David. David had to face David, right? David had to deal with David's junk and mess that he created. But guess what? God forgave David. And God blessed David, and God loved David, and God says, David's a man after my own heart. I'm telling you, if God can forgive David, God can forgive you. God can restore you. God can put you back together, and you can remove that curse, and now you can put your shoulders back and you put your head up high and understand that God is fighting your battle. You don't have to lose any more sleep about it. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to fret about it. You just got to realize, I've got to deal with me. I've got to bear my own burden. So house of God, giving, those are the two of the easiest things to do. Can I tell you the third easiest thing? It's praying. If you'll just start praying. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Didn't the Lord give us an example of prayer? After this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start your prayer off by loving God. Start your prayer off by saying, God, you're so great. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for not beating me over the head with a sledgehammer. Thank you for all your ways. And then just go on there. Give and it shall be given unto you. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. All of that stuff in the Lord's Prayer, you can pray. And you could start talking with God. You could start spending time with God. You could start allocating time with Him. Uninterrupted prayer. Greatest thing to do is turn the phone off. Not on vibrate. Turn it off. Unplug. And just get alone with God. And it's your time. I found for me, man, the best time is early in the morning. And many times I try not to wake my wife, but I do. And I find myself in our living room on a rocking chair that's probably over 21 years old. And I love that rocking chair. It's not for sale. I won't sell it to anybody. It's my chair. And I may pass it down to Brooke. I don't know when we pass on, but it's our chair. But I sit in that chair. And I'm not a coffee drinker, but I've started becoming a coffee drinker. I spend time in prayer with God, and I sit there and I read His Word. And I'm telling you, once you start doing that, you start allocating, it's no longer a drudgery. Now it's something you look forward to. It's me and my time with Jesus. We get to connect with one another. You know what I'm saying? And when you start doing that, and then you come to church on Wednesday and Sunday, it's just, boom, it's easy to connect because you've lived it throughout the day. If you want to be spiritual, you got to bear your own burden and drag your own carcass out of bed. You get up early for a lot of things. Get up early for God. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. When you start talking with God, He starts talking with you. You're like what David said, who am I? Thou art mindful of me, that you'll talk to me. He's no respecter of persons. Try God. Put Him to the test. But Alex, come. The last thing, and there's so many other things that we could do, but if we could focus on the four things, if we could focus on the house of God, being faithful to the house of God, being faithful with our giving, being faithful in prayer, and then being faithful in the Word. Reading the Word. Getting into the book. Getting off Facebook. And getting on God book. Before you send out a tweet, before you send out a text, read His text. God's text. He's got a lot of texts. You open up the Word and you say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He that meditates on my word day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in His season. I'm going to read Him. If we want to be spiritual, Brother Manuel, got to focus on us. Got to bear our own burdens. God, I made a mess out of life. Paul, one of the greatest apostles of our times, was used in the gifts and the supernatural in such a wonderful way. He made a statement. He says, I've got to die daily. And if he had to die daily, don't you think you should say, God, search my heart. Search the cracks and crevices within. I want to please you. Give me the right spirit. Give me the right attitude. Help me love the way you love. if you'll bear your own burdens and you'll be honest with yourself, then you can strive to become spiritual, because being spiritual is a process. And the Bible says if you start sowing to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. I feel Him here tonight. Oh, would you lift up your voice with me? Would you just, we've got a few minutes. Would you just connect with Him? God, I love You. Help me, God. Help me to become more faithful. Help me, God, to put You first. First in all areas of my life. Help me, God, to be intentional. Help me, God, to put You where You belong. Number one in my home. Number one in my marriage. Number one in my family. Number one in my kids. Number one in my household. Help me, God, to bear my own burdens. Oh, lift your voice with me today. Oh, hallelujah. To be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Pure and holy. Try. Oh. Oh, I love You, Jesus. With. Come on, that's beautiful. Stretch those hands towards heaven. Lift your voice towards heaven. Let's connect with God. God, You rule my life. God, You rule my heart. Worry. For. Oh, it feels good. Why don't you step out of your pew? Why don't we lie on this front tonight? We've got a few minutes. Let's spend a few minutes with Him. Let's connect with Him. God, I'm coming face to face with me. Face to face with decisions I've made. I'm going to put You first, God, in my home, in my family, in my finances, God, in my prayer, in my reading of Your word. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel the love of the Lord here. This is getting heaven's attention. Heaven's smiling down upon this. Sanctuary. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Shatarakayaraso. Prepare. Help me, God. Help me be what You created me to become. Help me to be ruled by the Spirit. Help me walk in the supernatural. Help me tap into You, God. There's a world that needs this. I've got family that needs this. I've got friends that need this. Fill me up, God, so I can help them. Help me, God. Yes, God. I'll be a little. Sharakaya rasoraka. Sanctuary. Oh, I feel like singing it one more time. One more time, sing it to the Lord. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare. Prepare me, God. Prepare me, God. Sanctuary. Pure and holy. Hallelujah. Sharakaya raso raki Tarayanda ya raso. Hallelujah. 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 I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I want to be spiritual. I don't want to be a hearer of the word only, but I want to be a doer of the word. Focus on you, so we can focus on others and we can focus on souls. But get us right first. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.